On Tech News Today, 3D printing from Photoshop, Tesla gets reckless, and Google Now is dealing cards on the desktop. All that and more coming up next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
It's Thursday, January 16th, 2014, and this is Tech News Today. Tech News Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other Apple products are worth at gazelle.com. And by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free two-week trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TNT1. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Mike Elgin.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Jason Howell.
Tech News Today explores the top tech news in 30 minutes or less. So, looks like Netflix was nominated for an Oscar.
Netflix what? Itself, just by being a cool service that I pay for every month?
Their documentary, The Square, got a nomination in the documentaries category. And this is pretty amazing, I think, because they won three Emmys and a Golden Globe for The House of Cards. And now their documentary is up for an Oscar. I think that's pretty amazing for a company that used to mail discs to you to watch as an alternative to Blockbuster.
Well, getting into original content is a big space right now. Amazon is doing it, as are others, Hulu Plus, in fact. Not that I really like any of the stuff that's on Hulu Plus yet, but it's a new market, and Netflix is proving that it's a market that works.
It turns out that a studio is really mostly an investor. So they're spending the right kind of money, and it's earning them Oscar nominations. So, well, it turns out you can print 3D objects directly from Photoshop now. An update to Photoshop Creative Cloud enables you to print either to a 3D printer or to a service that will print it and mail it to you. Adobe doesn't emphasize the creation of 3D models in Photoshop, although it can be done. But this free addition to Photoshop is really about improving the quality of the final product. And I think this has been misunderstood in a lot of the press we've seen this morning on this news. Really, what Photoshop is bringing to 3D printing is the same thing that they brought to regular printing, just printing on paper, years and years ago, which is that it turns out that when you're printing with different 3D printers, you use some software that is applied in different ways to different printers, and printers behave, they're finicky and they're weird. So sometimes you print something, it's got weird holes in it, and the print job doesn't hold up. In other cases, it sort of collapses as you're building it. What Photoshop does, one of the cool things it does, is it can it knows the problems and finicky nature of different printers. And
You're talking about 3D printers.
3D printers, right, okay. Exactly. And it will actually build support structures. So if it can tell that this thing is going to collapse when you print it, it will actually build an extra little piece of plastic that you can sort of saw off later. It does those kinds of things. It looks for structural, it will know before you print it on the specific printer that you're printing whether or not the print job will actually succeed.
Okay, dumb question perhaps, but why, if Photoshop's software is designed to make something more structurally sound, why wouldn't it tell you, hey, here's how to build it differently so that you don't have that extra piece of plastic that you'll use when your little creation collapses later?
Well, I haven't seen or heard from anybody who's actually used this product yet, so it's unclear exactly how this works. Adobe is bragging about its ability to sort of look ahead and see how these things are going to print. It's more about understanding the peculiarities of the modeling software and understanding the peculiarities of the printers and making and filling in the blanks between the two and essentially being a good finishing product for 3D modeling. The other thing you can do is you can bring in a 3D model. They recommend that you bring it in from another modeling software, and you can refine it. You can tweak it a little bit and make it more perfect. You can add textures, which Photoshop, of course, is really good at. And then you can print it, and your print job is likely to be more successful, they say, because they have these features that really understand the printers. Of course, it's early days. They're only supporting a few printers at this point. But I think that it's really interesting in at least one respect, which is that it's a further mainstreaming of the 3D printing world, which I think is really kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Photoshop is thought of as a way to bring, you know, the photoshopping of photos to the masses. I think that Photoshop is used as a term that everybody understands. Ooh, that magazine cover was Photoshopped. But really, it's not a mainstream product. Photoshop has been around for how many years, and I still don't know how to use most of the features in Photoshop. It is a prosumer product. I've always thought that. Yes, there are certain versions of Photoshop that are designed to be a little bit more, you know, bare bones. But this still seems to me like, oh, for people who are already interested in 3D printing, and it's still a niche market, the Photoshop people that are interested in 3D printing are further more a niche market. And that doesn't mean it's not a good product. Right. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see who takes this and runs with it and becomes the sort of 3D Photoshop expert.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it's a good point you're making about the mainstreaming aspect. I think it'll be mainstream in creative circles, in professional creative circles. Microsoft already added 3D printer support to Windows 8.1. It's not as elegant as Adobe's, probably. It just sort of passes along the job and doesn't do much value add. But that's, you know, that's Windows 8.1. That's mainstreaming. But in this case, I think what it's going to do is there are a lot of creative professionals who use Photoshop who are not currently into 3D printing, and this may get them into it. It's a free update. It just happens automatically for them. And so, you know, it's kind of a thing that they may want to play around with. I can see marketing departments creating 3D creative work for posters and whatever, and then just saying, you know what, let's just go ahead and let's print it. One of the coolest things I like about this news, by the way, is that they support a service called Shapeways. And so when you print it just like you're printing a piece of paper, and you select the printer, and one of the selections is Shapeways. Shapeways is a service that enables you to sort of print the job remotely. They'll essentially print it for you, and then they mail you the object. So you don't even need a 3D printer to use this this new feature in Photoshop. Well, when we come up, we're going to hear what's happening in the music industry. But first, I want to tell you about Gazelle. Gazelle is a service that will essentially take your used gadgets and give you cash for it. It's pretty awesome. If you're thinking about getting a new device, new iPad, new iPhone, new Android device, you can partially fund this project by monetizing and liquidating the value in your old devices. Gazelle will actually lock in your price. So when you go to the website and you enter in your device, they'll tell you how much they'll pay you, and it's usually a lot. A relatively recent phone or tablet will usually run over $100, which is a pretty good amount of money. So you just go to gazelle.com, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com, enter in the item, and they'll sort of lock in your price. And when they pay you in check, PayPal, or if you go for the Amazon gift card option, which is the best one, really, because you know you're going to buy stuff on Amazon anyway, they'll give you an extra 5%. So that's basically free money right there. You get paid quickly. Usually within a few days of the item being received. The offers that they give you on the site are good for 30 days, and they'll even wipe your data for free, which is great because you never know what you've left on that phone, what sort of personal information. They'll take care of it for you. Gazelle has already paid more than $100 million to more than 700,000 customers, and they will often give you a free box. So go to gazelle.com and enter in your devices and just see what they're worth. I think you might be persuaded to send in your old device. It's not doing you any good in a box or a drawer. So what's your phone worth? Take a minute and go to gazelle.com to find out. Do it now because your phone may lose value the longer you wait. So what's happening in the music industry right now? We've got some interesting news from Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify actually lifted its limits on free ad-supported web listening in all countries. So it used to be that Spotify Unlimited Listening had a 6-month grace period. They want you to get used to it. But then international listeners, some of them anyway, they're in a lot of countries, drop down to 2.5 hours a week, which is abysmal. That doesn't last very long at all. So this new direction is a good thing. It's not totally unlimited, though. The free mobile version is limited to shuffling songs, not on-demand song selection. So, for example, if you choose Nine Inch Nails, you get a collection of the group songs, but you're not picking which songs and which order those songs are in. However, it does put Spotify even more in competition, not just with other streaming music services. I happen to not be a Spotify user. I'm an RDO user, and the models are almost identical. RDO is just smaller, and it's based in the U.S., where Spotify is not. But Pandora, actually, they announced something today as well. I feel like it's sort of becoming a weird two-horse race between Pandora and Spotify, even though their core models are very different. Pandora is all based on radio, but I think that that company has realized that with Spotify, a lot of us say, well, I just want to listen to like this one particular album, and I'll go ahead and pay a monthly fee. And as Spotify continues to raise money, they just raised another $250 million back in November of last year. They've got enough revenue coming in. They have 6 million paying subscribers of 26 million users. So there's still a lot of potential there. But they have enough coming in so they can say, well, let's give the free people, let's throw them a bone, and let's get them used to the streaming model. Because I, as a streaming user, I've talked about this on TNT for years, I think once you get used to it, you realize it's the way to go.
Yeah.
The artist may disagree with me, but right. it's a really nice way to consume a lot of music.
Yeah, hardly anybody's making money from streaming music right now. Everybody's playing it for the future. And as you say, it's a two-horse race right now between Spotify and Pandora, but it's soon going to be a very complicated race. The next big competitor is Beats Music, which launches January 21st. And this is a music service that's put together by Jimmy Levine and Dr. Dre. And this service is really interesting. First of all, their model is interesting. They have no free streaming. They will only allow paid streaming. It's $10 a month or for starters, for a single user. Or if you go with their partner, which is AT&T, and I think they're the only streaming music service that's partnering with AT&T. I could be wrong about that. The chat room will correct me there. But they're partnering with AT&T, and for $15 a month, they'll actually give your whole family access to streaming music, which is really cool. But the coolest thing about Beats Music is their selection criteria. They've got really sophisticated algorithms that they specifically find out when you were in high school. And so they know what songs you liked when you were in high school. And those songs are always like special to people because people really get into music in high school. They know when you got your first device. They know they take into account your gender. They take into account all these different factors. They know how loud you listen to your music. And they take the volume that you listen to music at under consideration when they choose songs for you. So in addition to really sophisticated, much more sophisticated algorithms than Pandora has, they also have human selection for songs. So there's a social aspect to it that's also very powerful. You can't really underestimate these guys. They came in, Beats came in and just took over the headphones market with some pretty expensive and not very good headphones.
I don't think I would say that they took over the market. I think a lot of people think those headphones are overpriced and underperforming.
Because you hang around with guys like Jason and a bunch of people who were into it. If you go out and look at what people are actually buying at Best Buy, those Beats are moving off the shelf and they're making a ton of money. They're probably and they came from essentially nowhere just a few years ago. So it's a really an interesting thing. And the other thing that's going to be happening, of course, is that YouTube Music is coming, okay, and Slacker is going to hit the United States. And it's going to be kind of a crazy thing. And yet there's one more thing that's kind of a wild card. Remember the story we talked about the other day where the FCC essentially eliminated net neutrality in their case? This could be a serious problem for streaming music because they're all hanging on by a thread. There's no margins in this business. And if they start being penalized or charged money in order to do what they do, which is, streaming music requires some bandwidth. You're streaming it. So this could be a problem in the future for streaming music players. And we can see a world in which it becomes economically viable only for the Googles and only for the Apples.
Well, or a company like Beats is partnered with AT&T, and then you've got a whole new host of problems. That's one reason that I would say I wouldn't want to support a product like that.
And if the going gets tough, AT&T might even, and this is purely speculative, but they might even be incentivized to subsidize Beats to a certain extent, because once you're locked into a music service that itself is associated with a carrier, that's another reason for you to not leave the carrier and go to T-Mobile, for example. So that's kind of an interesting. It's going to be an interesting market, and it's fascinating to see how hard people are fighting over a market where nobody's making any money. So it's kind of a weird thing. Well, in the automotive department, a Tesla vice president said at the Detroit Auto Show this week that the company's growth would be, quote, reckless. Speaking at a press conference, Jerome Guillen said, quote, what's in store for 2014 for Tesla? It's growth, growth, growth. And on the sales and service side, it's reckless growth. Unquote. His boss, CEO Elon Musk, later said that Nguyen misspoke and meant to say relentless growth. He's French, and English is not his first language. Whatever. The point is that Tesla has got big, big things planned.
Even if he said reckless, who cares? That's good. Tesla's a great company. I'm excited for them to have reckless growth.
Investors are concerned about safety in the car industry, and reckless is not a good word, especially they recently
they didn't
had a,
say reckless drivers. Reckless growth sounds like growth that's so, it's happening so quickly, we almost can't control it.
Well, I think we can all agree that it's going to be crazy growth, and they're planning all kinds of things. Like, let's just put this in context. Tesla is a small company in terms of the number of cars they ship. They've sold a total of maybe 29,000 cars, roughly. 20,000 of those were last year. And in the fourth quarter, they sold almost 7,000 Model S's just in the fourth quarter. That news that they had sold way more than they had anticipated caused their stock to surge 16% when they announced it. So this is interesting enough that they're already kind of a rocket ship, which is Musk's other business, by the way. But they're expanding aggressively into Europe and China as well. The China expansion is really kind of fascinating. They start selling Teslas in China in March, probably the end of March at the earliest. They're launching a showroom in Beijing in November, and they're planning to put charging stations all over the country. They recently announced plans to blanket the U.S. with charging stations, and also they're talking about European charging stations. In China, it'll probably be mostly on the eastern side of the country. They won't do country to country because China doesn't really have a wealthy West Coast like the U.S. does. And so, you know, this is going to be enormous. They're expensive in China with the import duties and all that kind of stuff. They're about 70. The Model S is about $70,000 to $100,000, depending on
the packages.
In China, that price goes up to about $150,000 to about $200,000 because they hit them with import duties, probably as partly a protectionist thing by the government to protect local, electric vehicle sales, which is fine. There are a lot of rich people in China who are probably going to want to buy this car, and certainly China needs some cleaner air.
Well, we were talking about the idea that many Chinese accept no substitutions. You know, that China Mobile, a lot of people in China might not be able to afford new iPhone 5Ss. But there are also, I mean, there's strength in numbers, right? There are so many people in China. Yeah, most people aren't going to get a Tesla. Most people in the U.S. aren't going to get one either. I can't afford one, but I sure think they're great. I think the key is, yes, prices will continue to come down. In fact, Tesla has talked about how they're going to make a cheaper version of the, I don't know if they're exactly going to call it a cheaper Model S, but basically they're well-liked sedan. I took a road trip from the Bay Area down to L.A. in a Model S, stopped at two different charging stations, had to go a little out of the way in order to find them, but it worked okay. Once it becomes as convenient as stopping at a gas station, and it will, Tesla's got it made, and they're going to see competition from other companies that realize that this is what people actually want.
The other point to consider is that Elon Musk has said that within 3 years they'll be selling $35,000 cars. And that's kind of an interesting thing. And one of the ways they're getting there is they're building what they're calling a gigafactory. It's a giga battery factory. They claim it's going to be the world's largest battery factory. And they, you know, if you've ever seen the Tesla factory, it's a marvel of automation. And their battery factory is going to take that a step further. And they're going to be able to manufacture batteries at a vastly lower price. They use lithium ion batteries very inexpensively. And this will bring the price way down because a lot of the pricing in electric cars like Tesla's are in the batteries. Well, what's happening with Google now? I understand that that they're showing up in new places.
Yeah, if Chrome is your browser of choice, it's mine. You can start enjoying Google Now cards. I love Google Now if you're on a Windows or a Mac machine. So this is the Chrome Canary build. It's an early developer version. It doesn't replace the regular version of Chrome. In fact, if you want to, you can run both at the same time and kind of compare and contrast. The Canary build has some advanced features. It's updated daily. And the cards, if you're running Windows, will be in the system tray. In OS X, they'll be in the notification center. Now, there are a few things that you might get excited about that you should know. It's not exactly the same as what's being offered on the mobile version of Google Now if you've played around with it. The cards are missing things like public alerts, nearby photo spots, activity summaries, stocks. But it will support things like weather, sports scores, current traffic for commuting, event reminder cards. What I'm interested in is, okay, so I've got Google Now that provides me cards in my Google search app on my iPhone and my iPad. For the most part, my iPhone and my iPad are always with me, but not always. Now, if I'm running Google Chrome and I'm syncing between my browsers, which I always do because it's very convenient, am I going to get weird Google Now cards that are related to my mobile activity that aren't really related to that desktop that never moves at home?
I don't know, but it will take into consideration your location, which it'll get mainly from your mobile device, and it'll also look at your history with the mobile device and affect how Google Now is displayed on the desktop. This is interesting because it's yet a further mainstreaming. And you mentioned that you have it on your mobile devices. But to get it on an iOS device, you have to explicitly go in and say, I'm going to use Google Now. And you launch the app and all
sure.
that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's an opt-in thing.
It's opt-in, but to use it, you have to go and explicitly use it. The whole point of a preemptive virtual assistant is that it just comes to you and it interrupts you and says, hey, here's what you need to know.
But Google Now realizes that people are not always necessarily interested in predicting their behavior. Google knows that, they want us to buy into this, but they know that some people are going to be like, what? I'm not ready for this yet. So it kind of has to be opt-in as we all slowly get used to the idea of, hey, I know you commute to Petaluma every Thursday, so here's something that you might want to know about the weather in Novato.
It does have to be opt-in, but you have to be able to forget about it and have it come back and remind you that it's there if you've opted in for that particular thing. I've been astonished at what I think is their best product. I think Google Now is the single most awesome thing with the most potential of any product Google currently offers, because we're facing a world in which our every move is guided by this virtual assistant that is tuned into not only our calendars and our information, but the calendars and information of other people that we know and in the world. It knows the traffic, it knows the weather, it knows all these things, and it helps us to get deals, to avoid problems, to make sure things don't fall through the crack. And this sort of augmented productivity, you might call it, is coming. And they've been hiding it, essentially, inside these apps. This desktop version is fantastic. I installed it this morning. And it's great because you forget about it, but then it pops up in your notification center on the Mac, and it reminds you, it's subtle. Google Now really doesn't spam you with all kinds of stuff. It's really just a few things a day. It's, maybe, 10 things a day that pops up and says, here's a sports score, here's a TV show that you like that's going to be on, that kind of thing. And it's very nice to have that integrated into your normal workflow. You have something that's kind of on your side, protecting you like a real assistant.
Like a real boy. That's no, right. I think as long as we're all using mobile devices plus desktop experiences, not just Google, but Apple and other companies want their mobile and their desktop experiences to be as similar as possible.
The other thing that has to be said is that, of course, Apple will respond at some point, probably not immediately, with a version of Siri for OS X. Meanwhile, here's something that I hardly hear anybody talking about. Siri was essentially a spin-off product from a larger initiative by the Pentagon, from SRI, and it was to create this virtual assistant that essentially does what Siri does, but for military applications mostly. And some of the people who originally created Siri are working on a desktop version of Siri, a kind of super Siri. It's not really associated with Apple. And so the intelligence behind the original Siri product is coming to desktops. I think we're going to see not just Google and Apple, but third parties offering these kind of virtual assistants that are tied into intelligent search engines and so on. And it's going to be a really awesome world. It's going to be pretty much exactly like Star Trek. You walk in, you talk to your computer knows what's going on. It gives you it helps you out. It makes you Earl Grey tea. Well, that's a different computer, but it's going to be a lot like Star Trek, and it's going to be kind of an awesome world. Well, we're going to hear what's happening in the world of 3D chocolate in just a second, but I want to tell you about something else that's very sweet, which is Squarespace. Squarespace, of course, is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website. Squarespace is basically the ultimate site for you to go and build a website. It's great for prototyping. It's great for trying things. It's great for fully professional sites, people who are book authors, who have small businesses, who want to get into blogging and they want to do some customization. Just go to Squarespace. They take care of the design. They take care of the engineering part. They make beautiful code. It's really quite an awesome service. If you just go to Squarespace and look at their design templates, just looking at their templates, they have 20 new ones, and you essentially pick a template. They're very different from each other, and as you can see, they're incredibly elegant. Once you've selected one, you can go in and tweak it. It's very easy with the controls that they have on the back end to sort of modify and tweak these designs just the way you like them. If you have any sort of trouble, their tech support is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're mobile ready. Your website will look fantastic on a phone or a tablet, and that's really important. You can also monitor and moderate your site from their Squarespace mobile app. They have a Squarespace metric app for iPhone and iPad that also lets you check stats like page views, unique visitors, and so on. And as I mentioned, Squarespace takes care of the hosting, and you pretty much can't bring a Squarespace site down. I know that on Twit, Leo's tried. He's tried to send the Twit army at these sites, and they never go down. They never seem to even slow down. So it's pretty amazing. Start a free 2-week trial with Squarespace with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code TNT1 to get 10% off and to show your support for Tech News Today. We thank Squarespace for their support of Tech News Today. And remember that Squarespace is everything you need to create an exceptional website. Well, I promised 3D chocolate, and I'm going to deliver. Hershey's is working with 3D Systems to explore ways to use 3D printing technology and make chocolate bars. One possible outcome of this collaboration is custom-shaped chocolates, according to the Wall Street Journal. Another is for Hershey's to become a supplier of 3D printing-friendly chocolate optimized for use in 3D printing. You can imagine them coming up with some kind of formula that comes in a bag, a mix, or something for the 3D printing industry. Either way, both companies see the 3D printing of food going mainstream very fast, and I would agree with that. I think 3D printed food is coming to a mouth near you. So what do you have in other news?
Well, if you want a Darth Vader lightsaber, how about a lightsaber that's also a USB charger? Yeah? You want that? Good, because I know of one. It's an official licensed product. You know, there's a whole Star Wars movie coming out, so you're going to see a lot more of these. But this one comes with red LEDs. They create the saber beam and four LEDs on the handle to show power status when you're charging something. Battery capacity is 2,800 milliamp hours, so that's a full charge on at least most smartphones. Comes with a micro USB cable as well. The Darth Vader lightsaber charger is $50, and it's available now. And I really wish it would have been available a month ago, so I could have bought it for all of my Star Wars-loving friends and put it in their stockings. I guess the Chinese New Year is coming up, though. There's still time to buy things for others. January.
Chinese New Year. Still time for lightsabers.
I was trying to think of something. What's the big gift-giving thing that's happening soon? There's that.
Traditional Chinese lightsaber. Well, that's our show. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe on iTunes or our website at twit.tv/TNT or from your favorite podcast app. Don't forget to share your news tips, leaks, inside information, and feedback. Email us at TNT@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW and leave a message. Also, upvote the stories you'd like to see us cover on our subreddit at technewstoday.reddit.com and visit our Tech News Today Google Plus community. You'll find our website at twit.tv/TNT. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.